Well, good morning, everyone. It's Monday morning, the 13th of April, 2020. And the question that we're asking this morning, and the answer, can man save us? Many people have the idea their actions, they can bring about their own self-redemption. And until we understand that all people on the face of the earth are not children of God, we will not understand the Bible. It's impossible. Once I began to study the scriptures, I discovered that there were two kind of people on the face of the earth. We are told in the Bible, you are a chosen generation. A chosen generation. 1 Peter 2:9. Well, if we're a chosen generation, isn't it logical to assume or deductively conclude that there are certain people that are not chosen? If we're a chosen generation, are you part of the chosen generation? Ye are a royal priesthood. There are certain people who are not part of the royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We can look around us and see that there are people that are promoting death and destruction and lies and worshiping other gods. They are not part of a holy nation. A peculiar people. So he says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Like I said the other day on the broadcast, I had a fellow email me and says, you're nothing more than a fuddy-duddy. Well, we're a peculiar people. We're told to come out from among them and be separate. Separate from what? Separate in our values, separate in our actions, separate in our attitudes, separate in our beliefs, separate into what we subscribe to. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. There are some people, we don't know who they are, but we have evidence. I mean, scripture says by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. He has made us to meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness. Some people have not been delivered from the power of darkness. Hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear son. Have all people been translated into the kingdom of his dear son? I think not. Welcome aboard, Rick Batorik. I see you down there. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. The path of the just is the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Here are many, many people who are not children of the light. And so that gives us an understanding as to why we have so much evil and darkness in the world. I think the Bible makes it very clear that there is a distinction between the two peoples on the face of the earth. Those who have been recipients of God's grace and those who frankly have not. God has proclaimed his victory for his people. And God has also proclaimed that he will put his enemies under his feet. Isn't that what he said? And he tells us that he's created the wicked for the day of evil. God has the elect chosen before creation. All the people on the face of the earth have not been chosen before creation. The elect have been called out from this evil world. God has showered on them his everlasting kindness and mercy. He's quickened us by the Holy Spirit that we would embrace the truths that he has taught in his word. It takes a quickening of the Holy Spirit for a person to be born again by the Spirit of God. The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Jesus' death on the cross was for his people. That was the purpose. He died for his people. He came to save his people from their sins. Nobody seeks after God. But God found his wandering sheep in a howling wilderness, howling wilderness, because they were chosen in him from the foundation of the world to be predestinated under the adoption of his son. All the way through the Old Testament, we see these people who are shown favor by God, unmerited favor. They didn't earn it. Daniel was a chosen prophet of God. Jacob was loved, but Esau was hated. A long line of people who God chose, beginning with, I believe Adam and Eve were chosen people of God, even though they fell. I believe that they received grace because God clothed them in animal skins, signifying that blood was shed for them. His blood. Cain was looking to his works for redemption, whereby Abel saw that life was in the blood. And we have a long list of those who God showed his mercy and grace to. A long list of those whose blood was shed for, who were blood bought. Abraham and Moses, Isaac, Jacob, Daniel, David, and many of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Jonah, Zechariah. His sheep hear his voice, and they follow him, and no man can pluck them out of his hand. He says, all that the Father hath given me will come to him. He's not wringing his hands. He's not pleading. He's not trying to almost persuade people to come to him. When he decides to cause someone to be born again by his Holy Spirit, He causes them to flee to the cross of Christ, to recognize their need of a Savior and repent of their sins. He told Paul, "Get up, it will be told thee what thou must do," after knocking him down on the ground and blinding him. He told Paul that he was persecuting him. He told Paul that he was persecuting Christ, and that he would suffer much things for the cause of Christ. He told Zacchaeus, "I must abide at thy house today." Are you suffering because of your proclamation of the gospel? He tells us in the gospels that all who are in Christ will suffer persecution. That's an evidence that we are one of those who have been chosen and set apart by God and been a recipient of the inheritance that is in Christ Jesus. He has taken the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. When Paul was called from darkness to light, he said he conferred not with flesh and blood. So we find that all of God's people have been set apart by God. They've been preserved and they've been called. And one of the things that's sorely missing, in 90% or plus of the churches today is this reality that there are two distinctive peoples on the face of the earth. And a total absence of the teaching of the golden chain of salvation and predestination election. So this morning I want to end by reminding us that we are told in Romans 8:28 through 39, "For those whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And those whom he predestinated, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything against the charge of God's elect?" There's a lot of charges being laid against God's elect right now. But the people that are laying charges against God's elect are just merely attacking Jesus Christ himself. When they lay charges against God's elect, they're attacking Christ. Good morning, Rick. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is Christ that died, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. But yet, there are ministries out there, very, very lucrative ministries, that you never hear them talking about election and predestination. I've never heard Franklin Graham talk about election or predestination. He talks about free will. I've never heard Rick Wiles on True News talk about the doctrine of election and predestination. He talks about Jesus pleading, waiting, longing for you to come to him. Scripture tells us that all that the Father had given him shall come to him, and all that come to him he will in no wise cast out. God is not wringing his hands. He's not dependent upon his creatures. I've never heard the Noonan afternoon of Israeli Live. Talk about predestination election. Or Adam Green. No More News. Talk about election and predestination. By the way, I sent them all of those people the aforementioned my book, The Lies of Free Will. They all have my books, so they're without excuse. I also send them, God does not love everyone, but he does love his elect from everlasting to everlasting. You're without excuse, Adam Green. You asked me to take you down off my email. You're without excuse, Israeli Live, Danoon. You're without excuse, Rick Wiles. You have the truth. I sent it to you. The free will of man is a lie against the original sin and total depravity of man. Promoting the free will of man is a lie against predestination and election. Promoting the free will of man is a lie against particular redemption. Promoting the free will of man is a lie against the unfailing grace and eternal life. Many people down through history have promoted this lie, including but not limited to John Wesley, C.I. Scofield, Charles Finney, Dwight L. Mooney, C.S. Lewis, James Dobson, Billy Graham, Rick Warren, just to name a few. And of course, those of late who are being propagated up and held up are people in the dispensational camp, like this Jeffers out of Dallas, Texas, and Donald Trump's female spiritual advisor, what's her name? White? Paula White? Yeah, Tulip, that she needs to be barked at. Paula White. What a joke. We have been given the grace of God. There's not many people speaking out against those who are promoting the lies of free will. The origin of the lie of free will was when there was war in heaven and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed. What did Lucifer say in his heart? That he said that he would ascend into heaven and that he would exalt his throne above the stars of God. This is in a nutshell what free will seeks to set forth. That man's will is independent of God, and his will has the power to do anything he chooses to do. God says just the opposite. God proclaims through the prophet Isaiah, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed where there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. I am God. All the way down through history, this lie has been promoted, starting with Pelagius and his teachings. You know? And then James Jacob Arminius followed in his path, didn't he? And John Wesley denied the total depravity of men like many others. What does the scripture have to say about it? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked. Excuse me. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. if you're promoting the lies of free will, just realize that you are doing the work of Satan by promoting the lies of free will, by twisting scripture and saying that foreknowledge is God looking down through the pores of time and seeing who will choose them. That is a lie. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God doesn't have to do something. When God decrees something, it is unchangeable. He's immutable. He is unchanging. God has accomplished on the cross everything that he purposed to accomplish for his elect, for his people. And of course, John Wesley attacked Augustus Toplady, didn't he? He maligned him in every way possible. Wesley spread lies about Toplady. Even when he was at the point of his death and when Toplady became aware of it, he literally got up off his deathbed and publicly refuted Arminianism and embraced the doctrines of grace once more. It wasn't enough for Wesley. Even after Toplady died, Wesley continued to besmirch the character of Toplady. The only reason Wesley so hated Toplady was because of his reputation on biblical grounds of the Arminianism of Wesley. We find the same thing today. The reason people besmirch people like myself is because of the same reason. Many people started out promoting the grace of God, and then as they went along, they became more and more sympathetic to the humanistic doctrine of free will, and that included D.L. Moody and Ira D. Sankey. And then we have, you know, modern times today, people like Chuck Colson and Richard John Niehaus, a Catholic priest in New York, coming together and bringing together people like Bill Bright and Pat Robertson and J.I. Packer and Larry Lewis of the Southern Baptist Convention and Jesse Miranda of the Assemblies of God and John White of Geneva College and Cardinal John O'Connor and Avery Dulles, all under one ecumenical umbrella, called the Evangelicals and Catholics Together. You know, in the Council of Trent, it states that if there are any come among you saying that man does not have a free will, let him be anathema or accursed. They take Galatians 1 and 2 and turn it on its face, don't they? These are Judaizers. You know? What was the name of Billy Graham's broadcast? The Hour of Decision broadcast. Charles Finney was a hero of Billy Graham. And Billy Graham considered Charles Finney to be one of the great spiritual leaders of all time. These mega churches today that now can't worship because of the coronavirus, what a blessing, huh? Leaders like Rick Warren, Bill Hybels, T.D. Jakes, John Hagee, the former Chuck Smith, I mentioned Paula White, Joyce Myers, Ken and Gloria Copeland, just a few examples of those who have mirrored the false free will doctrine propagated by Billy Graham and the Southern Baptist Convention. Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, a multi-million dollar seller, Rick Warren, of course, associates himself with the Southern Baptist Convention. Further evidence of the Southern Baptist Convention's falsehood. Well, there's a big difference between those who proclaim the truth of God's sovereign grace and those who don't. And today I wanted to point out just a little bit of the fact that there are two distinctive peoples on the face of the earth. Those who've been called out and been given the unmerited favor of God. Nothing in this creature is worthy of it. But we must take a stand against those who are promoting the creature and humanism. May the good Lord be with you today. God bless you, Rick Baturek.